I'm going to continue. This will be part two. I'll say some things of what I said last week, but then continue some and build on it some, because God is counting on PWM to go to heaven in prayer and bring down Satan's strongholds by the Spirit. It's kind of like what Dre said to me last week after the lesson. It's foolish to think we can go to the throne of God without the Spirit of God, you know. And that's really kind of what we're talking about. And then having some discussions with Elder Ron about it, and how he said this really applies to all of our lives. Not only praying in the Spirit, but singing in the Spirit, learning how to sing in the Spirit, and worship in the Spirit, and teach in the Spirit, and preach in the Spirit, and live in the Spirit, right? So this really kind of flows over to the whole Christian life. I still think generally the body of Christ is still looking for true Christianity. In other words, it's mostly earthly and not heavenly. And so all of our forms and models are warped, you know. But somehow God's trying to raise that up again, and he will before the end time. He will raise up the true church. But the true church is a church that's led by the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit takes control of our lives, whether it's prayer, whether it's intercession, whether it's singing, whether it's going to work. We start to learn to depend upon the Holy Spirit to fill us day by day to do everything that we do. And so our natural man, our carnal man, has gone the way of death, if you will, so that we can walk in the resurrection, that we can walk in the higher side. And then that's when the true church is coming about. That's when works are being done by the Spirit. That's when deliverances and healings come over and over and over. And we're going to get there. We're going to get there. I tell you that. We're going to get there. I'll tell you that by what I see. And I don't know if that means anything. So we start to learn to see by the Spirit. The more we understand that there's a Spirit to life, the more we start to discern or see by the Spirit, and we know what we know by the Spirit. It gives new meaning to the scripture over in Hebrews 11. That faith is the substance of things hoped for. But where does your hope come from? Right? Your hope starts to come from what the Spirit starts to show you. And then he gives faith to that substance, and that substance starts to become a reality. So faith is the substance. You know, God starts to, you know, God's substance is pretty, it's his mind. It's his, whatever's in his mind, that's his substance, you know. So faith is giving substance to what God's thinking about and what God's revealing to you. And your faith starts to take a hold of what God's revealing to you. He gives you the revelation of his mind, and then he gives you the faith, Geraldine, to take what he's revealing to you. Can it fail? It can never fail if that's the case. As he's supernaturally giving you revelation of his mind by the Spirit, and he's supernaturally giving you the faith to take a hold of his will and revelation, can anything fail? It's like God's in all of it. Okay, so for instance, Rob gets a revelation of substance of things hoped for. God starts to give him hope about you know, his grandsons, and then it's the substance. You know, faith starts to give that substance. It all came from God, because in the old things have passed away, all things have been made new, and all things are of God. All things are of God. So he's the one giving you visions. He's the one that's giving you songs. He's the one that's giving you this deep burden for 6000 Brook Road and healings coming down. He's the one that's giving you ideas about evangelism. He's the one that tells you when to evangelize. And then he gives you faith to get it done. See, none of it's human. None of it's human. As soon as it becomes the human, James, it's lost. There's going to be division and strife and man wanting recognition. God, I'm going to give you glory, but I need 10% on my own. You know, I need 10%. I charge a commission on what I'm doing. So if y'all can feel what I'm saying, you say, I would never do that, but you do it. You do it, right? So we do it. When I say you, I say we do it. We do it. So a part of God giving you higher vision is to lowering you in your own opinion of yourself. He can't give you higher vision just so you can steal the glory. So the key to walking, and let's bring it back to prayer, God's going to reveal some things to us to pray for. And he's going to give us higher responsibilities and higher anointings and higher results. But he can't give it to you any higher than what you would steal from him. Because if he, did that make sense? He can't give it to you any higher than you would or wouldn't steal from him. You would steal from him. In other words, if I give you too much, you can't handle it. You're going to start stealing from, right? You know, I can give you a little bit and you're okay, but if I gave you the big deal, you know what? You're going to stick your hand in the cookie jar. So a whole big part of life and prayer is us being lowered in our own opinions of ourselves. It has to happen. It has to happen. So here's the saying, and we're gonna read some things. Treva had a wonderful write up that she had years ago, and she brought it to me the Monday, and I think we're gonna get to it at the end. But you know, so in this sense, Raquel, prayer changes us, and not God. Okay. In other words, the lower you can become in the opinion of yourself, you've been changed, the more he can do through you. Okay? Because what gets in the way, and I like to say this, what gets in the way is the humanness about us. I was meditating on this, and the thought about the mind, you know, we love our minds, right? We love our minds. And the Lord's like, well, your mind's leavened, you know. It's been leavened. It's been leavened. It's got its own little way. And, you know, I kind of look at it like this. We want to understand everything. We want to be in control of everything. We don't even think we need to go deeper than our own minds to pray, right? We don't even. So here's God saying. Here's he says here in Romans 8. I'm going to read Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And I'll come back to this, but just really quickly, I want to say, we all need intercession from one another He makes intercession for us. James prays for me, but not in his own human thoughts about it. What's the Spirit telling James to pray for me about? How am I going to grow? Because James is learning how to pray in the Spirit. And how is Ron going to grow? Because Rocky's going to learn to pray for Ron in the Spirit, right? Not just a God bless him and his family prayer. Rocky's going to get quiet. Rocky's going to understand that prayer is too high for her. Y'all listening? Prayer's too high for her. I can't. You're talking about coming to the throne. And you're talking about praying the will. You know, the scripture we read is it's the Spirit that knows the will of God. We don't give him enough room, because we figure, Rob, that we already know how to pray. We got a mind. And my mind knows my mind sees Ron. My mind sees that Ron needs a new pair of shoes. And so I'm going to just pray what my mind said to me. We don't think we need to, the leavened mind doesn't even think it needs to go deeper than what you see with your eyes or hear with your ears. So we don't even inquire about anything deeper that Ron may need. Maybe he was hurt as a youth, and God healed that wound that's deep inside. By the way, he never told me about that, but the Spirit told me how to pray. I might have never mentioned it to him. But see, we don't know how to pray like we ought to. Is that a good enough example? It's a very good. So since Adam fell, either our minds got leavened right away, or they got leavened over time. But we inherited a leavened mind from the natural ancestor, the first Adam. And there's nothing spiritual about it. It's just soulish and carnal and earthly and worldly. And you know, because he fell, and because we are in his lineage, our minds are just as leavened, maybe more, than his was. And so, you know, God has to start from zero when it comes to teaching us how to pray, or teaching us that we do, you know, how valuable prayer is, right? He has to teach us that. Otherwise, our mind says, well, I whispered something, and now I can go on and get done what I think needs to get done. So one of the big, big things about prayer is understanding that we don't really know how to do it. And that it's only the Spirit can make intercession for us. Only the Spirit can bring these things to light. And so God's great unveiling to us last week and this week is the leavenness of your mind. He doesn't know how to pray. He doesn't even think he needs to go deeper than what he already knows about you or about God. You know, I already know how to speak. I already know what to say. Where we have to get below the mind into where the Spirit dwells and let him start to take us over, start to swallow up the natural side of us, which he will, so that we can start depending on him to pray through us, either through unctions or groanings or you know, little enlightenments. God, I feel like I need to pray by your Spirit. So here's what we do. We start to get quiet. Quietness is very, very, very important. We start to get quiet. And we start to wait on him. So now these scriptures about waiting on the Lord makes a whole lot more. You know, we have to wait because we don't have the ability to pray like we ought to and how we ought to. Holy Spirit, You're the only one that can touch the mind of God. You're the only one that can touch the mind of heaven. You're the only one that kind of knows what the, you know, the perfect will of God is. See? So then as we grow, 10 years from now, we're getting more prayer answered than we ever did in 50 years. You know, why? Because, you know, here's Jesus. Whatever you ask the Father, you're going to get it. And so that was one of those scriptures you sort of just threw out because you know that wasn't happening. But if we're learning how to pray, whatever we ask is only because the Spirit's praying through us and He already knows the mind of God. So whatever we pray is going to come to pass. And so this is why, and so we gain ground on that, right? We become more confident that the prayer is going to be answered. Why? Because it's not us. We're out of the natural realm again. We're in the Spirit, and the Spirit's directing. We're learning how to let the Spirit direct our prayer and not just start saying things, okay? Even things that, you know, maybe they do need to be prayed for, but we're still waiting for what God has to say about it. You know, sometimes things come up and we pray, and that's okay. But then even in that, it's like, you know, I'm learning, even when I'm blessing dinner or blessing the meal, and I'm not waiting for 5 minutes, you know, before I say anything, but I'm conscious down inside that I just don't want to just say, God bless the, you know, good bread, good food, good Lord, let's eat, you know, good bread, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. That this, God, what else do we, you know, what else is just looking on the inside of myself and saying, what else, can I thank you for, or do you want me to say, than just saying, you know, take the calories out the food, you know. Let's see what the Spirit's saying. You know, we've got to give Him so much more room to pray through us, because we're learning. We've got to give Him so much more room to pray through us. Because if He's not praying through us, we're not getting the results that God wants us to have. Remember, God's always willing to his works are phenomenal. He's just really looking for vessels that He can work through. And so, in that sense, prayer changes us. In other words, He gets us to the state where your soul's not in the way, or where your flesh's not in the way. If I want to do this bad, but there's too much of Geraldine mixed in with the desire for the desired results. There's too much of Deborah mixed in, and you know, the prayer's not, we're not praying with the Father really, really wants out the situation, or we're not praying with the, you know, design purposes of heaven. There's too much flesh involved. So here's what happens to us. We pray, it doesn't happen, you know, and we say, maybe it's not God's will, or maybe it's not time, or whatever, you know, and you know, maybe some of that is true, but a lot of times is there's too much of the natural side of us involved in trying to get heavenly things done. Yes, Joyce. Oh, good. So she said, I understand everything you're saying. I hope everybody does. But how do you get the natural side out of you so that you can walk in the heavenly side of it? And so number one, I'm going to say that's a process, right? The natural, and the second thing is, it's a lot of people don't even know that there's a natural side. You know, the natural is spiritual to them. The natural is, this is what we do. So I'm just pointing that out because we're growing. And so, you know, so let's just, I mean, talk about that, and I'm going to get to your answer. Because you really kind of jumped on some things I wanted to share anyway, but so I want to talk about that first. Then I'm going to talk about how, And Treva's handout's going to help address some of that. Flesh and blood cannot enter in the kingdom of God. So I want to, Joyce, I'm definitely coming to you. Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, right? There's the natural and then there's the spiritual. Okay. So as natural men and women with confidence in our natural minds, it's almost a hardiness, right? That, you know, we're very proud of our minds, but that can never enter the kingdom of God. So, you know, so then we have to learn that and understand that. And the people in church history that really made an impact understood that. And they understood, and here's the term, here's the scripture. We got to pray in the spirit. That's exactly what that means. In other words, I can't pray by my natural mind. I've got to sense the Holy Spirit renewing my mind and start praying that way. Okay? And so so then we're learning to pray in the spirit. Then, just like I said at the beginning, we're learning to live by the spirit. I'm going to allow the process of God. And of course, when it comes to prayer, I'm going to be quiet. Why am I being quiet? Because I have no confidence on my ability to pray. So I'm going to be quiet and allow the Holy Spirit to start to take me over a little bit. Because as soon as you say, Pastor Mike, I don't know how to pray. As soon as you confess that, that's all he needs to hear. You just humbled yourself in my mind by saying you don't know how to pray. Whether it's through teaching, whether it's through experiences, whether it's through revelation of God of yourself that my mind can never touch you. I don't, this prayer is too high for me. And you confess that now. I'm waiting now. There's the presence of the Lord. There's the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's little inclinations of the Spirit. Because as soon as you say that, he honors that and says, I'm going to meet you now in prayer. So now prayer is not a teaching. It's a relationship. Okay. And this is the important thing. Because nobody can teach you how to pray but God. And really, he's teaching you by doing it through you. No, so prayer is a living thing. It's not a step by step. It's a person coming to you and teaching you how to go to the throne real time. Okay? It's not a system. It's not a 1-2-3 formula. Because that's what the mind, when you say teach me how to pray, and your mind says just give me a formula, and God says no, I'm giving you a person. Okay, because we don't know how. There's no ability. We're so bereft of it that I've got to have a person. We're so leavened that I have to have a person taking over the whole thing. In other words, he can't come to you today, give you some principles, and go take lunch. Right? The Holy Spirit can't do that. And you say, now, let me know how you did. He says, let me know how you did when I get back. No. He's the living. So all of your access is through the Holy Spirit. All of your blood cleansing is through the Holy Spirit. All of your unctions and inclinations is through the Holy Spirit. When you say, that's the Holy Spirit, right? Everything, he's teaching you to pray by praying through you. He never drops off and say, now you got it. Call me, you know, later. It's always teach. The teacher is living in you and praying through you. This is always. This is why her building's going to discover a revival. Okay. This is why her building's going to discover revival, because he's going to be praying revival through her. You know, all she has to do is posture herself in a waiting, humble nothingness mode, and then God starts. The more nothing she becomes, the more God can move. Right? The more she tries to formalize prayer, the less happens. The more she yields to the prayer himself, who makes intercessions and groanings for us and through us, the more God gets his will done. Because he's always present, you know. The supernatural, spiritual one gobbles Rob up when he waits in silence and nothingness. That's what I needed. Now I can get in there and get some stuff done. Now I can touch the throne for 6,000 Brook Road. Before, she was trying to do it by her own human understanding of it. Romans 8, 26 and 27, write down. Because the Spirit maketh intercession, because we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray. But only as a person comes and starts to pray. So in that, pray through us, then things start to happen. So in that sense, nobody can teach us how to pray. It's a person praying through us. So, wow. So here's what happens, Joyce. I still got you, but I gotta continue this thought. So here's what happens. You start. You wait. You learn and you wait. You know, this is really one of the ways get the natural out of the way. Just right here. If you're waiting, you have no confidence in the natural, because the natural man doesn't wait. You know. Right, so that's the natural man doesn't wait. So right there, you got something's break. See, God. That's why I say prayer is more us changing than anything. So something has to change inside of us to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way. So it's really changing us. So something has to break the natural man down. Waiting is one of those things. This is why I say, you know. Before you wait, even if it's 10 minutes, just wait. You know, God, I need you. You know, this is too high for me. It's too high for me. Here's the mind of God, and here's little old puny me. Why am I here anyway? Right? And so when that starts to happen, he starts to take us over. Right? He starts to take us over. And he starts to do his own thing. And so I'm finally getting this leavened mind down. And what it thinks it needs to pray and how to pray. And I, you know, knows the reason I'm praying. And I understand everything. And I'm getting that leavened mind, getting that down to nothingness. And so my presence can start to become to lift her up in another place. Out of the natural, my presence can start to come lifting her up out of the natural into another type of mind. The leavened mind starts to subside. See, this is prayer experience now. This is prayer experience. The leavened mind starts to subside. And I start to think on another plane, a different type of flow. It's a different piece and a different flow and a different, you know, these things are hard to talk about because I can't, words doesn't explain them well. But then there's kind of a lifting, you know. Obviously, it's not physical, but there's another presence that comes that's bigger than me. It may seem as I can kind of sense it, right? And there's a lifting, and then I can start to feel faith rising a little bit. You know, this is God kind of faith, because once He gets in there, He starts to bring His own number on the scene, right? I got the faith you need, I got the peace you need, I've got the will that you need, I got the mind that you need, I've got everything, I've got it all. I got the access to heaven, I got the throne access that you need. None of that you can get by just reading it. It can't happen. All reading is just sort of telling you the confirmation of, oh, that's in the Word. But the living of it is the most important. All the reading does is give you confirmation. So here's what's happened in Christianity. We read it, but we had no experience, you know. So he lifts you. And there's another, I'm not saying you go out of your body or anything like that. I'm just saying the atmosphere, let me say it this way, the atmosphere changes. There's something else in the room besides me, or somebody else in the room besides me. He's called my helper, with a capital H. He's a person. I've been waiting for you to die to yourself a little bit more, so that we can go up a little more and walk in. See, because all this is in the power of the resurrection, right? All this is in the power of the resurrection. All this is in the power of the resurrection. Prayer is in the power of the resurrection. Singing is in the power of the resurrection. Going to work needs to be the power of the resurrection. Because it's all by the Spirit. Okay. And so he started to lift us. And then he started to say, oh, I can show you the substance in the Spirit, the substance of Brooke Road starting to bow to heaven's will, you know. And this person's going to be first and this is second, so I need you to pray for this one right here first, because once that one gets saved, you don't know, but they're going to get testified to the person down the hall from them, and then they're going to get it and they're going to say, did you hear this, right? But this is all by the Spirit. And it all starts with somebody who's allowing the Spirit to work through them in their nothingness. And learning how to pray, or learning how to have the Holy Spirit pray through them. You know, sure, they have to give the time to it. Sure, they have to give the desire for it. But then they have to have a desire to say, Holy Spirit, you know I can't do this. And he starts working. And then, you know, so then this gets kind of contagious, doesn't it? You know, so then Roz wants to be around Pastor Jerry. And Rob wants to be around Pastor Jerry because he senses the Holy Spirit in her. What are you doing that he can pray through you like that? It's called humility. It's called nothingness. It's called losing all yourself. It's called, you know, denying your loving mind. Allowing the Holy Spirit to lift you, and allow him to come up behind you and push you, and allow him to kind of formulate your words, and allowing him to give you the unction for pleading. And you know, so you know, you can plead in the natural, but you can plead in the Spirit too. See, you can be taught to plead, but the Holy Spirit's not there. Is that a good enough example? You can be taught, I got to plead. I got to plead for my lost loved one. I got to plead. But doesn't mean he's there. See, it has to be the life of it, guys. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you can teach a blind person all kind of facts about the sun. How hot it is, how many this or that it throws off, you know. I don't know. You know, you can teach them all about it, and they can go teach about the sun. They can go teach you how far it is away from the earth. They can teach you that it's a star, right? Okay. It is a star. They can teach you other facts. You know, this is what I need, Ron. So, but they never seen it. They're going to be a philosopher, a sun philosopher. They ain't never seen it. See, it's the same with prayer. People can teach all kinds of facts about prayer, da 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 da, but they never been to the throne because they don't know the Holy Spirit. Are y'all listening to me? This is where the church has been. This is where the church has been. They're all kind of books lined up about prayer, lined up all over the place. But it's like the blind man. All in all, the facts about the sun. When the eclipse gonna be. But never seen it. See, a lot of people have never seen Jesus through the Holy Spirit. A lot of people have never seen Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And he is the Word. He is prayer. But they never seen him. Not in the Spirit, right? So here's God, and I'm telling you guys prophetically this night, here's God lining up this group of people. That's why y'all sitting here on one side. Line up this group of people. His purpose is, I'm teaching them how to pray. I'm teaching them how to get to me. I'm teaching them how to get to me, because too many people are lost. And by the time I build this church, it'll be the real one that man couldn't build. But only through the Holy Spirit. Only through the Holy Spirit. I got to have a group of people who will die to themselves so they can actually get sight and see the sun. See the sun. And when they see the sun, there's something going on between them and the sun. There's a transfer between, you know, there's heat and light that comes. You know, I'm talking about the S-U-O-N now. There's heat and light that comes. And not just book knowledge or teaching. So there will be times that he's going to drag the floor with you. See, I can say that now. He's going to drag the floor with you. And you know what? You're going to love it. You're going to be 6 hours back there, and it's going to seem like 6 minutes because the sun is there. Right? The real person is there. Not just a book. Not just... I've only been here for, you know, a few minutes, and it's been all night. Because when Mount Zion travail, when they start seeing the sun and travailing, you know, you only travail through the Spirit, right? You only travail through the Spirit, right? You can't go back today and say, I'm going to travail today. Bless God, I'm going to travail in Jesus' name. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds good. I might even write a book while I'm travailing. He's got to have a real church. He's got to have a real tabernacle. He's got to have a real temple. You have to have real intercessors and real priests who are not just have principles about this, but they have lowered their lives in order that God can teach them what intercession is and intercede through them, and they love it. And the privilege of it gets so profound, see? The privilege of it. And so, I haven't forgot you, Joyce. So the privilege of it gets so profound. God, you know, if you have just one little encounter like that, I mean, just give me one like that. I don't care if you have me for here for 12 hours. It's worth just feeling your glory fall on me like that to pray. And so we're here tonight for us to come out of here saying, God, give it to us. Right? God, give it to us. Yeah, I've been ignorant, but God, give it to us. Thank God for my ignorance. You know, it's a holy ignorance. Right? You understand? It's a holy ignorance. It's a holy ignorance. My leaven has just been tripping me up for, you know, 1,000 years. It's my own leaven. It's not your will, God. It's my leaven. You know, that comes with reading the Bible or whatever. You know, we read the Bible in the flesh. We read the Bible with humanness, you know. There's no need. We don't really need the Holy Spirit to read the Bible. That's kind of, I mean, we'll never say it out. Mike will never say that. But that's down inside of us somewhere. There's a haughtiness about us. I don't really need the Holy Spirit to read no Bible. I've been to school. I mean, I know we would never say that because it's not religiously right. But down inside. This is why God has something has to change us. Somebody has to change us. Somebody's got to change us for the seals to be broken. And that we can understand. The problem, you know, Ron sent something out. And about this. If there's something not right in our hearts and minds about reading the Bible, it's not, you know, and if we don't read it, it's just a closed book. If we don't read it broken, it's a closed book. So it goes back to Joyce's thing. If God doesn't start breaking it, and if we don't accept his breaking, just forget it. Just forget it. He comes to those with a meek and contrite heart. Where would God dwell? In the contrite. Who's God going to teach through? Who's God going to pray through? The contrite. Who's he going to lead worship through? The contrite. Who's he going to teach through? The contrite. Who's the meek and the contrite? Who's he going to use at 7-Eleven? The contrite. It extends to every. So when God brings situations in your life that you don't like, but he's trying to make you contrite, you can't buck. Person said such and such to you. Guess what? You needed it. Because somewhere in there, you're still too proud. Somebody said, I'm not proud. Yeah, you are. This is Pastor Jerry time. Because she got some stories. But we all do, really. We all should have some stories. Well, I thought the other person was the problem. And it's Raquel. It's Raquel. She said it, not me. We thought the other person, honestly thought we had ground. But here's God trying to get us to heaven. I'm not talking about when we die. I'm just talking about when we. Here's God trying to lose our lives so we can gain a higher place where he can really use us. And we couldn't recognize his hand trying to break us. We could not recognize God's hand. We could not recognize the hand of our Father. He's trying to get us in humility. Because he said, listen, he's got to find some people that he can use. He's so desperate about it. He's so desperate about it. He's so glad we're all here tonight together because we can teach one another together. I've got to find me a people that I can break down and expose the leavenness of their natural mind so that then I can start renewing in them and having the mind of Christ, the mind of heaven, the mind of love, no matter what your enemy does to you, the mind of God. Because love really starts to conquer everything. And loving your enemies is a one. See, that's it. You know, what good is if I love those that love me? What good is that? But see, God's got to conquer us. And see, that carries over into prayer. Now, love starts to pray for your enemies. Love starts to pray. You know, this thing happened to me today. It happened to me today. I'm sitting at the school on the run, and I'm like, you know what? I text Glo, tell him, I said, I don't need this run today. I need to get ready for the night. She said, hey, it's going to be okay. But see, that's just my flesh. Because really, here's a little, you know, getting ready to teach, it's not so much the lesson as it's something in you. It's not so much the lesson. And this is that, like the lady said to me, you know, I'm going to school for sermons. I'm like, you need to go to the school of the Spirit because the lesson is in you. He's got to get you out the way. In other words, if he can get you in the Spirit, the lesson's going to kind of take care of itself. And that's not God don't prepare anything, but the most important thing is that I get humbled and lowered and out the way. Okay? So I'm standing out there at the school, and the lady, some lady comes out talking to me, and I don't know if this has ever happened to me. I could sense the demonic on her. I mean, it scared me. Because, see, we're growing. See, because we're growing. See, the more you lower yourself, the more the Spirit can. So it's nothing she said, nothing she said, just a beautiful conversation in natural terms, you know, this, that, and that. But there was a darkness on her. You know, so I wanted to get kind of scared, you know. And then thought, why do you think I'm revealing this to you? Intercession. Holy Spirit, help me. Because, see, my first thought is just, by God, but I got to learn to say, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to pray for this woman. I just know I sent some darkness on her. I mean, it was real. It was bone-shaking real. It wasn't no just, you know. But it was in the spirit. That's all I'm trying to say. God's going to get us in the spirit. God's gonna, so there wasn't a hunch about a person. The conversation was wonderful. It was all God. But underneath. So God wasn't revealing darkness to talk about anything. Or to, you know, to think lower of her or anything. She needs to get out. And if you don't learn how to pray in the spirit, you can't get her out. That's how much I wanted. See, I was at the bus stop at a school on work, a place I didn't want to go, and here he is. He didn't have to reveal that to me. But if we say we want to be used, if we say we want to be used, you better know what you're saying. Right? You better know what you're saying. God uses, you know, you better know what you're saying, because then you're in it. Right? You're in it. You can't be saying, like, God, you know what? I was okay over here. Say, is the revival going to happen? I'm prophesying to you. Revival is going to happen where she lives. Revival is going to happen where she lives. Not just because she's asking, but also because God's doing something in her. That's the key. That's the key. In other words, revival's got to happen in her first. It's got to. It's got to. God just doesn't bring it down without the church. So that's what happened. That's why stuff. Listen. 2 weeks ago, two Sundays ago, Shelly's sitting over here. We got in the spirit. See, I'm trying to bring it up to date and make it relative for us. We got in the spirit over there, right? Start in love, start praying over, putting hands on her and things like that. And here's her testimony, just to shorten it. Here's her testimony. I could feel the love. I couldn't tell you how that love felt when the body of Christ got over there and even got over there and just praying all around for her. Because she, you know, she's got to feel the love. Because it all worked by love. And then here's her testimony. See, this is starting to work. We're starting to get in the spirit. Her ankles were just swollen all around, you know. And by the time she got home, I don't know when, you know, she said her ankles went all the way down. Right, Gerald? Right? All the way down. The doctors couldn't make it happen. They tried. They tried for weeks and months. The ankles wouldn't go down. We're going to let you go, but we really are hesitant because your ankles won't go down. They went all the way down. So Tuesday, they were down for a couple of days. So Tuesday, should I share this part? She's shaping up the testimony. Maybe it's a good part. She's shaping up the testimony on how she's going to share about them ankles going down. Which, you know, it's okay to testify, but when you start shaping it up, guess who's getting in there? Get 11 again. 11, yeah. Here comes 11. Because see, your mind and yourself are going to say, you know what? I got to have 2% of this testimony. It's not just her. So listen, as God starts to bless us, we better be careful how we share. Okay. But see, it's starting to happen. What am I trying to say? All I'm trying to say is it's starting to happen to us, right? Sunday, here come Pastor Glow, here come Gerald and Pastor Glow, and call people around her. Her knee was, she saw the swelling. Is that what happened? You saw the swelling? Okay, so you saw the swelling. You had something in your back? Okay. And that's Gotcha. And so Glow Saturday, here's Glow around all day Saturday. Like this. She can put no weight on it. If so, I don't know what's happened to my legs. She was hurting. She was putting bags on it. And Sunday morning, she's in here like this. I'm telling you, it was very serious. By the time they laid hands on her and prayed, Monday morning, zero evidence, zero, zero. Monday afternoon, she comes home after walking this center all day. On this hard floor, she said, it's gone. Oh, Jesus. At the time, this is very important because it's the spirit, not the natural. When we were praying for her, she didn't feel a thing, but we must have been hitting the spirit. She felt the love in the spirit, like Shelly. See, something's going on because healing always is attached to love, by the way. Healing's always attached to love. I'm convinced in my spirit that if you had a sickness and we did the same thing, that it's going to start manifesting more and more. And I can see by the spirit that one day to not be healed is going to be the exception more than the other way around. Okay. All right. Right? Right? Because we're growing. So I got to read this, right? The greatest power is in faith that works by love. Mercy and grace are bound eternally by faith, right? The greatest weakness in the world is unbelief. And that living mind you got that think there's any faith in it. And there ain't no faith in your living mind. And oh, you might think so. I believe that you ain't seen nobody. My point is, it's starting to work. Little by little. So little by little, right? Little by little, it's starting to work. To the point, the confidence is going to be extraordinary. As long as we're in the spirit, right? See, there's a confidence in your loving mind that you read enough scripture and you understood enough in your mind, you're going to start confessing it, but there's nothing in the spirit of it. Are you listening to me? You're still describing the Son, but you're still blind in your eyes. The teacher is not on the scene. The teacher, and that's the only way it's going to work if the teacher's on the scene. And so the first thing he starts teaching us is humble yourself. In situations that come, here's how we get rid of the natural mind. Admit we don't know. Wait on God. Take all of those situations that come your way that you don't like, take them as the hand of God. I must have needed that. I needed busting. I needed busting. I mean, we can all think about those situations where you were justified in saying they shouldn't have done that. And God said, yeah, they probably shouldn't. But I'm going to, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that seems like the furthest thing from your mind. Like the furthest thing from your mind, because you get so caught up in your soul and your emotions about it. How are they going to do this to me? And here comes God saying, wait a minute. I'm trying to get you ready for the throne. Oh, Jesus. I need you to start depending on the Holy Spirit for everything. I mean everything. And he's going to start praying through tree, and all prayers going to get answered left and right, left and right. Well, it really wasn't me. I know the Spirit's really doing this stuff. Thank you, but I know who's really doing it. The only one who can. The only one who can. And the only one who can. How little have we acknowledged that the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities? We haven't acknowledged that very much. We need plenty of silent time. I want to share the handout. What time you got? Oh yeah, we got time. Anybody have any comments in the mic? We need them. You know, there's a There's a place in God that we all got to get to. There's a reason why this month we're teaching on prayer. It's not just for information. It's for revelation and relationship. It's for humility. It's for contact with heaven. It's for faith in the realm of the spirit. It's to get us in touch with the extraordinary. That our boast would be in the Lord, that there'll be an extra confidence in what we're doing by the Spirit, though. And I believe tonight that impartations are happening, that we're being lowered in our own sense of being able to do this on our own. Whether it was hidden or not, probably was hidden. We had this little hidden confidence in ourselves to pray. And God's just busting that and bringing us to the point that we dare not move without him. And all of our effectiveness is through a person praying through us. And bringing about the Father's will, we don't know how to pray like we ought to, but he helps our infirmity. That means we must be infirm. I don't know how to pray. It's too high for me. This belongs to, the Son of God. I don't know how to do this stuff. He know how to intercede. He's at the right hand. I don't know how to do this stuff. He's at the right hand. He know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. So I'll take any little bit you teach me in the spirit. It's worth all of my outward, pharisaical stuff. Just give me some little time in there. Treva, thank you for sharing this. This is really good by Steve Hopper. I'm just going to read, right? The room is still, the silence deafening. You cry out with the words that echo back in the emptiness. No response. You grope for the right words, the correct phraseology, the proper theology to catch the ear of the Creator. All to no avail. He doesn't hear you. He doesn't hear you. He doesn't hear you. We've always been taught just pray and wait and God will do it, but we don't have the details, right? We don't have underneath stuff. Pray, wait, God's going to do it, sometimes this, sometimes that, but he'll get there. But we got to find out the spirit side of this. It seems there's an impenetrable soundproof wall surrounding you. You grow desperate. You follow all the best teaching on how to connect with God, but your prayer still evaporates into the emptiness around you. Then he says, such is prayer without humility. You remember Jesus humbled himself. In other words, he depended on the Holy Spirit for everything. To go to prayer to his Father, he depended on the Holy Spirit. I can't go to my Father to the throne without the Holy Spirit. God distances himself from the proud. Psalms 138:6. As Andrew Murray points out in his book, Humility, we might as well attempt to see without eyes or live without breath as believe or draw near to God or rest in his love without an all-pervading humility. Jack Deere vividly describes in Surprised by the Spirit, Surprised by the Voice of God, how God responds to our pride. Quote, God hates pride with a pure hatred than we can imagine. That's that leavened mind. He says that the proud in heart is an abomination, Proverbs 16. An abomination is something that repulses. For example, the ancient practice of sacrificing children to idols repulses the normal person. God calls child sacrifice an abomination. The same word he used to describe pride. It's a leavened mind. It's a haughty mind that thinks it knows how to pray. Pride is an abomination that repulses him. When we seek to enter God's presence with pride in our heads, we should not be surprised, our hearts, I'm sorry, we should not be surprised to find him repulsed by the encounter. We don't know how to pray as we ought. Pride thinks it knows how to pray. Without humility, our prayers are merely empty words. Words that tickle the ears of man, but cannot touch the heart of God. Why is God so opposed to pride? Perhaps the answer is, in his very nature, God jealously desires the spirit he placed in us. 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 And views those things that steal our hearts away from him as idols. Pride, when distilled to its essence, is just self-idolatry. You're thinking too highly of yourself. You're thinking too highly of yourself. You think you know how to pray. You think I already read enough books. You think all I got to do is say something and God should respond. What's wrong with God? Why don't he respond? He's slow. He doesn't care. And all the while the problem. Humility, by contrast, is utter dependence. Utter dependence. Utter dependence on God. On how to pray, how to read, how to sing, how to preach, how to teach. The complete opposite of idolatry. Andrew Murray defines humility as simply the sense of entire nothingness. Don't think more highly than you ought. Down to the point of prefer others before yourself. This is nothingness. Watch God use PWM. Nothingness, which comes when we see how truly God is all and all things are from him. When we reach the point of nothingness before the Lord, Holy Spirit, please give it to us. When we see ourselves as bondservants and when we see others as more important than ourselves, then we can begin to understand humility. Recognizing the need to be humble and becoming humble are two vastly different things. Recognizing the need and actually becoming it are two very different things. Many will readily acknowledge humility as a virtue, but few are truly humble. So how do we become humble? How do we turn from pride and find God's grace and favor in our prayers? Can we ask the Holy Spirit to anoint us in humility? Can we request our pastor to lay hands on us to receive an impartation of humility? Can we glean from the scriptures revelation that will enable us to become humble? The Bible tells us we must humble ourselves. As you turn from pride and humble yourselves, you will discover an amazing freedom in prayer. The heaviness from worry over the opinions of men lifts off of your shoulders. There you find the key to the kingdom of heaven. There you find your Father's heart. Matthew 18:4, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I think it's a very good reading. I do want to add that God will bring some humbling situations, opportunities your way, so that we can go to war, plead in the spirit, and get some things done in the earth. Father, we thank you for the grace that's here tonight, how you're removing us out of the equation, that we're learning by your spirit to die to self, and humble ourselves and to get to the point of a ignorant nothingness and the joy that that brings your spirit on the scene to bless our brothers in prayer, to capture your heart in prayer, to speak the mind of God in the spirit in prayer, to understand our limitations in ourselves, but that nothing is impossible to the Spirit of God. Teach us, Lord, how to pray. We ask like the disciples asked. Teach us. Get us out of the way. Have prayer change us, that our dependence will become utterly on you, totally on you, Holy Spirit. Take away our boast of knowing how to pray. Take that away. It's there. We can feel it. We can feel it. Take that away. Take that away. That secret thing that was hidden behind the veil of the flesh. Take it away. Renew our minds, Lord, to our nothingness and your everything. Do your work. Build your kingdom. Not made by hands, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.